Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Tuesday morning. Rod Peterson Show, episode number 150. We haven't made a big enough deal about that. Are they celebrating us in Ottawa? RP Show 150?
Just like you could have all the Canada 150.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, it should be in lights on the ground.
Left it behind.
Yeah.
Randy Ambrosi was with us in hour one, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, live from winter meetings in Collingwood, Ontario. In moments, the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, Scott Milanovic, will be joining us from those winter meetings. It's been a busy show. Clark has informed me, or reminded me, we have yet to put up a poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Biggest reason was because we didn't have a question.
Well,
simple.
Do we have one?
No.
What's the biggest issue at the CFL winter meetings? Biggest issue. Is it the third quarterback? Is it the NFL CFL window?
Let me write that down because I can't take my eyes off the Facebook scroll. It's mesmerizing.
Is it CFL?
David in Winnipeg writing in. Man, I got work to do, but this Rod Peterson show is real entertaining. I'm going to watch more screw work. Don't worry, David. There's other jobs, but there's only one Rod Peterson show. As one rider coach told me one time about how his wife was on him, about how many hours he was putting in. I said, so, and I, you know him, we won't name him. I said, so are you not going to put as many hours in? He's like, no. It's only one football. There's tons of women out there. Last I checked, he's not married anymore.
Oh, geez.
Surprised. How did that happen?
What are the top four issues at the CFL winter meetings?
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
But now we need to come up with them before we have the Eskimos head coach, Scott Milanovic, with us.
The top four issues in the CFL right now. Is it the CFL NFL window?
Me.
The third quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Is that a second point? CFL NFL window.
Yeah.
Third QB. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is with us. Two-time Grey Cup champion. Smitty, you chime in at any time.
2.0 in the...
That would be an option, too.
Yeah.
So I've got three options right now. CFL NFL window, third quarterback, three, CFL 2.0.
Other?
Or do you have Mark Atherton, who's watching from New Brunswick or somewhere in the Maritimes, Mark says expansion is easily the hot topic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where does the
cap? We got to go to New Brunswick to get all the best answers here.
Where does the coach's cap fit in?
Yeah, that's not changing, sorry to tell you. That's like anything. All these businesses that cut, in corporations, cut. Do they ever go back and re-spend?
No.
Not that I've ever seen.
But as we mentioned, and I kind of forgot about this since the fall when you know I was doing the Canada West tour and in some different CFL markets, namely Calgary and Edmonton and here, and talking to CFL types, some personnel that are making these decisions are unsure of what the cap is. And all the rules around it. And so I think some of that communication still needs to happen, and I'm sure that's happening at the winter meetings.
Well, that CBA is going to come out, right?
And then it'll be
everything
clear.
Should be in there.
Yeah, it'll be super clear because I know they're operating and they're making moves, and they're not really sure the implications of the CFL cap. If we fire a guy, what happens with the money? Does it open? Like, they're not really sure, and I think that's what they want, not necessarily... about going backwards or about going back to free spending, but I think they just want to know the information, right? The expectations need to be laid out.
You guys keep talking. I'm still tweeting here.
Right? I think...
Well, it'll be interesting to see what develops there because, you know, when you fire a guy, I mean, he's got a salary.
But what happens?
And you're
going to
have to pay that salary.
Yeah.
Can you replace the guy who you just fired? And if you fired a guy for a reason, but you know what's going to happen with regards to that?
Can you replace him? You mean financially, or with a quality candidate?
Financially.
Okay. If we've spent to the cap and we fire a coach who is making $100,000, does it open up $100,000 in the cap? I know we got to pay him his salary, but does it open up $100,000 in the cap?
What happened last year with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. All those coaches were locked in, but Craig Dickinson didn't necessarily say those are my guys. You know, they obviously did pretty darn good, but you know, it's he couldn't come in and go, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone. They're all under contract. They all have to be paid if they're cut. But if they're like, oh.
Yeah, how much are you, like, as a CFL ops guy and a guy who would be part of that, how much are you looking forward to seeing the CBA? Because do you really know what it is, right? Because you would know if there's be openings or how you would get back into the game.
I don't know. I you know, who knows what the deal is. But, like, for a guy like me, I'm going to have to get in there very, very slowly. And you know, not making very much money, but still, you know, making contributions to a team, looking at film and things like that. So I'm going to go to a GM and say, listen, you know, I'm ready to roll. Can I, you know, what do you got? Do you have anything with regards to what I could do for you guys with regards to watching film, sitting down there, getting some reports to you guys and trying to do as much as I can for you? On a limited basis, and you know, so there's okay. You got $20,000 or something like that, or whatever it is. Well, they might not even have that because they've got, you know, their director of player personnel. They've got their scouts. They have all that all solid. So for me to get back into the game, until I get where I can go, okay, I want to be a scout. You know, and with the scout, what does that do? That means traveling. That means going to different things. And right now, I can't do that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what I can do.
So, thank you, Smitty. Today's been a whale of fun. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
So much fun. We have all these new viewers from all across the country. This David Ice, which I don't believe is his real name. He's got a burner account. He says, is this fellow the scout for the Bombers, Craig Smith? Well, you were. He's on a health hiatus right now.
Yeah.
He's our director of scouting. He's worked for the BC Lions, Hamilton Tiger Cats, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's it, right, Smitty? Four.
Yeah.
Won two Grey Cups. That's Craig Smith, our director of scouting. TSN has theirs in Craig Button. We have ours in Craig Smith.
And I'll be honest.
What?
Even when you get back healthy and you're ready to go, we might not let you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, turning down jobs as it is. Mark Atherton in New Brunswick's watching. He says, I really want to see how well the next Touchdown Atlantic game goes. Fingers crossed it's the Riders finally coming to Moncton, which was announced, right? That's the Argos game.
Yep.
That is. So here's the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll today, just ahead of Scott Milanovich, the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos. What's the biggest issue facing the CFL at winter meetings? Your four options are the CFL-NFL window, expansion, third quarterback, or CFL 2.0. And right now, 67% of you on Twitter are saying it is the CFL-NFL window, which players can try out in the National Football League. So we're going back to CFL winter meetings right now, Collingwood, Ontario. We've got the new head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, Scott Milanovich, with us on video chat. There he is. Good morning, Coach. I appreciate the time. How's the meetings been for you so far? Are you just getting your feet wet, or have you been in some meetings already today?
No, we've just been doing media pretty much all morning. So got in yesterday, late last night, and meetings don't start till this evening.
Absolute whirlwind for you over the last 3 weeks to a month, obviously. Your introductory news conference was over the phone. Can you talk about what the last month has been like for you?
Yeah, that was a first for me. Never had two jobs before. It was difficult trying to put a staff together. That's been my biggest priority in what little free time I had. We're in pretty good shape there. I think we'll have some things to announce next week. And now I'm looking forward to kind of getting into our personnel and our roster.
Hey, Scott. Craig Smith here. Congratulations on the position. Great to have you back in the Canadian Football League. Let's talk about the search for coaches. How far are you into it? Have you made some decisions? Obviously, I know you're not going to, you know, say who they are, but how far are you into that, you know, that situation?
Yeah, we're very far along. We've got basically one position coach left and a couple of quality control guys. So we're hopeful to make some announcements later next week.
Did you want to use the Rod Peterson show to make some announcements?
That's all right.
I don't think our PR people would appreciate that. Yeah. So I think they're planning something for next week.
Yeah.
Nice try, Smitty. Yeah. I appreciate it. Scott, I got to ask you, what made the Edmonton Eskimos attractive to you? And by the way, I was just up there last week. I am an Oiler fan. They're very excited to have you up. They're as excited to have you as I think you are to take over that football program. So it seems like a real nice fit. What makes that a good fit for you in your mind?
Well, I miss the league. I miss being a head coach. The biggest reasons, you know, my relationship with Brock. I've known Brock for over 10 years since we were together in Montreal. Obviously, relationship with Trevor. I think the love for the game that they have in Edmonton, the facilities, the structure, all the things, the little things that go into making the day-to-day life for the players, giving them an opportunity to be successful. All those things are, and as far as I know, as good as it gets in the CFL. I think they're one of the flagship franchises in the CFL, and it just felt right to me. Like I said, I missed being the head coach. I missed calling the players. It was felt like the right time for me to make a move.
In terms of this offense, Scott, you know, with Trevor Harris at the helm, what are you most optimistic about or most excited about your team as you get a chance to evaluate during the offseason? What are you most excited about?
Well, I think it'll be hopefully a quick transition. There'll be some changes to what I've done in the past. I don't know if they'll be noticeable or not to the average fan, but just the fact that a large chunk of it Trevor will be familiar with, and knowing that he and I have a relationship and a working relationship to where we kind of know to some degree what to expect from each other, that's a huge part of it. I don't know a lot about our roster right now, but I did before I took a job call a lot of people that are respecting this league, and to a man they all said that team's not far away, so that was part of it as well. But you know, it still comes back to the relationships and the infrastructure and the ability of this organization to give us what we need to win.
Scott, Darren is the biggest Tennessee Titans fan in probably Canada, and he has pointed out you know them very well from the past few years in that division. So over to you, Darren. Go ahead.
Well, get me excited. I mean, I don't know that I'm too excited about playing Baltimore, but you've seen that team for a while now. You know, they're on the right step, but kind of look ahead to Saturday for me if you can.
They're a very good football team. I think any of the playoff teams can beat them, but they can beat any of the playoff teams. Their defensive line, like, we've really struggled with them. Talking about Jacksonville, we beat them once this year on a Thursday night game, but their defensive line's difficult to run the ball against. You can't get that 99 cut off on the backside. They're physical. Derrick Henry looks like a defensive end. You've seen. I mean, it's unbelievable, like the guy and the quarterback's playing at a high level. So we practiced against Baltimore in the summer in training camp. So we spent 3 days up in Baltimore, and they're a heck of a football team. Right now, they've got to be my pick. But Tennessee can definitely do it. That is a very solid, well-coached football team.
That division's really kind of feels like it's turning the corner. You know, Andrew Luck left, and Jacksonville struggled a bit, but the division seems like it's turning the corner now and being one of the more competitive ones now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it will. You know, the quarterback in Houston is elite. You can see it from that play he made the other night to win the game. Frank Reich's a good friend of mine in Indianapolis that, you know, they're trying to figure out their quarterback situation. Oh, that's where Marcus Brady is the quarterback coach now. So Tennessee's solid, good coaching. And, you know, we have had some issues as far as losing guys like Jalen Ramsey and trying to figure out who our quarterback's going to be. But the team in Jacksonville is not that far off. So it's a solid division. It's not, I wouldn't say it's glamorous, but none of those teams are easy wins.
Mm-hmm. Have you been following some of the CFL guys making their way to the NFL this offseason? And if so, who do you like the most? I know we see Duke Williams really got his shot in Buffalo, and we saw him in the playoffs. But who do you like as potentially a guy who can make that transition?
I like Duke. I talked to our people about him about 12 months ago, and there was a split on him. We worked out Mike Riley last year. We worked out Bo Levi. I tried to get our guys to sign them, but I mean, it's when you're the quarterback coach, you don't have a ton of juice. So,
well, you got those guys there in the first place. I mean, why wouldn't they sign them on it? Because we know they got the size, they got the tools. Were they just too old in the NFL's mind, or what? Who are they looking for?
I don't know. They don't tell me those things. What's your opinion? And I give it, and sometimes they take it, sometimes they don't.
Right. Yeah, I understand how, for sure. I guess lastly, Scott, for these winter meetings for you right now, is it getting up to speed on what you've missed since you've been in Jacksonville, or what's it like for you and the Edmonton Eskimos in those meetings the next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to catching up. There's a lot. The rules are so different. That's what I've been telling people, just as far as game management. The last 2 minutes in the NFL, last 3 minutes in the CFL, I've got to get caught up and back up to speed and things with the replay and all the things that make the CFL unique. I got to catch up with that. That's one of the reasons why it'll be so important for me to hire a staff that's got that experience to help me through those early weeks in the season.
Well, we eagerly look forward to that announcement. Appreciate your time this morning. And Scott, great having you back in the league, man. Thanks so much. And all the best in 2020.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Scott Milanovich, head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, joining us from CFL Winter Meetings. And I know how good this show looks from this side. Can you imagine how good it must look from the other side?
Oh, I know.
This is like NFL Network stuff, man.
Well, it is. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. He says at the end, you know, he's got to get guys around him that know the game and are familiar. And I wonder, you know, how much he's keeping in touch with guys that he wants on his staff over the years. Like, I don't know if you just saw that was put out, I don't know, in the last number of days, the Mike McCarthy Project. Search for it. It's on social media. Did you watch it? Mm-hmm. And if not, you got to watch it. Because Mike McCarthy, over the last few years, has been working with a coaching staff. He's had his coaching, he's been unemployed, but he's had a coaching staff together, and they work nearly full time, breaking down plays, building their systems, learning the rules, the nuances. What would you do here? They're watching film because he knew he was going to get back into the game, and he wanted to get back into the game, and it was like, we got to be prepared. So that whole coaching staff is on their way to Dallas, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and now he's the head coach of America's team. We got to break. We'll be back. We got Justin Dunk coming up and TSN Montreal's Joey Alfieri talking sports on this Tuesday morning. Episode 150 continues right after this brief pause of the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Tight. 2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s. All with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Very busy morning going on here in the old Rod Peterson Show. Bear with me. Got a couple of NFL coach hirings. Joe Judge going to the Giants. John Hines, the new coach of the Nashville Predators, over to the NHL. Who's Carolina got? The guy from college, Smitty?
Who's that? What's
the Panthers? Never heard of the guy. I got to check the Carolina Panthers hired who is the head coach this morning.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay. Well, let's go to last night. I'm all over the place here. Connor McDavid scored in the third period as the Edmonton Oilers went on to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-4 last night at Scotiabank Arena. For the Leafs, it snapped their win streak of 11 consecutive. It was their first loss in 11 consecutive games in regulation. Another loss for the Montreal Canadiens. They made it six defeats in a row by falling 3-2 to the visiting Winnipeg Jets. Semyon Varlamov stopped 32 shots against his former team as the Islanders beat the Colorado Avalanche 1-0. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And as well for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See it, Wendell's. It's Tuesday. That must mean it is Chicken Taco Tuesday.
Nice.
Okay. Matt Rhule, the new Panthers head coach. Thank you.
Baylor head coach.
Came from Baylor Bears. Okay, thank you.
Did a great job there.
We're going. You said we have Justin Dunk now? Okay, back to CFL winter meetings in Collingwood, Ontario. Justin Dunk from 3downnation.com joins us from Media Day. Who the boys tell me that you're just down the hall from Scott Milanovic. Justin, is that true?
Yeah, literally, guys. All the coaches and GMs are right behind me.
All right. Well, we've heard from the coach. We've heard from the commissioner. But now from you, the insider, what's the scoop? What are they talking about out there, man? What's business?
Well, I'll tell you guys, I just had a good long chat with Riders general manager Jeremy O'Dayn, you guys being a Regina-based show. Might be interested to know that the Riders actually tried to trade for Cody Fajardo while he was with the BC Lions. They were having a little bit of troubles with their short yardage situation, and they tried to, in season, when Chris Jones was there, get Fajardo over to Saskatchewan a little bit earlier. So imagine how that would have turned out.
Probably what's turned out well now. And yeah, as you know, everything happens for a reason, so it's all worked out for sure. What else you working on out there, Justin? This is obviously your kind of thing, right? Your kind of day. How much fun are you having?
Buddy, we're just loving it. Football junkie right in the middle of it. And I'll tell you, I think the most interesting thing so far that I've talked about with a couple GMs is the new negotiating period that's going to go on before free agency officially opens on February 11th. There's going to be about a week period where teams can actually put down offers to their players, a little bit like restricted free agency in the NFL. The difference, though, and this is a key, guys, that's just come out at these meetings, if a team puts an offer down for a player, they're going to be held to it. So you can't up the market on a player and pull the offer that once it's on paper and it has to be registered with the league and with the PA, that offer has to go to the player. So you got to be careful when you're putting them out there.
Okay, Justin, I'm really excited about this. This is like that chess match of teams and players and agents. Like, it's going to be a real battle, and you're right in the middle of it. You see both sides. So that's going to be super entertaining. But what's the rule? So who can pull the offer and when? And you know, who does this favor?
Well, they're going to go over all the details here at the winter meetings. But the way it's set now is that if a team puts an offer in on a player, they're held to that offer. So you can't have a head fake, let's say, and we'll use Shaq Evans, for example, offer him $175,000 and then pull the offer at the last minute and hope to maybe get him for $150,000 just to try to drive the price up and put the bidders away. So I don't know if it necessarily favors anyone right now. The one area that it will help is that you don't have to wait until, you know, Eastern time on February 11th to have the phones going off, that it will be a much more thought out process period. And you can see what the other teams potentially, if they put it down on paper, are willing to pay a player. So I think overall, it might actually make the free agency period longer and more interesting.
Will players be able to accept offers before free agency opens? Or is this more about, you know, tabulating all the offers, understanding what's out there, and not needing to rush and make a quick decision because somebody else might get signed?
That's one detail that's going to have to be figured out at the winter meetings. To the best of my knowledge, the offers are going to be out there, but they won't become official until free agency actually opens. So you can't put pen to paper on the contract. You can agree to terms and, you know, have a handshake deal or say, yes, we're going to sign this deal when free agency opens. So the offers will be out there, but won't become official until free agency opens.
I know we only have you for a couple minutes. Last one for you, Justin Dunk. Do we see Chris Jones in the CFL in 2020, do you think?
Well, Well, guys, you know how much I like you, so I've done some digging around the Chris Jones situation, and from the people I've talked to at this point, and it should be said it's a fluid situation, they believe that Chris Jones really made some fans, let's say, in Cleveland in the front office, and Paul DeBattista, if I'm saying that properly, who sort of won that power battle with John Dorsey, really likes Jones. He made an impression on the defensive staff. So there's a thought process that Jones could actually stay with the Browns organization. That's the latest.
Awesome. Nick Lewis actually said the same thing here yesterday. So two guys I respect a lot. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Justin, I know you're busy. Thanks for the time this morning, man. Enjoy it. I know you are.
Thanks, guys.
Justin Dunk joining us from CFL meetings in Collingwood, Ontario. And how about that?
Whoa.
Well.
I said it. One guy. That's all you need. And he, you know.
That's right. One supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making allies. And yeah, I mean, that's good. He made an impression. And that's what Chris Jones does, right? He makes an impression and he has success. And I'm interested to see how that turns out. Does he stay in a similar capacity? And I mean, it'll depend on what they do and who they put in place in terms of coaching and all that stuff. But that's cool.
It's a very interesting situation in Cleveland because it's almost like the Montreal Alouettes, you know, where they're hiring in a different order than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, is a head coach going to be a guy that's going to be able to choose guys who are on his staff, or is Chris Jones going to be, you know, well, not fast track, but is he going to be, we need this guy? And you could easily see that, you know, on the defensive side of the football, you know, you could see how a positive, influence he was on their defense. So be interesting to see.
I'm so unbelievably grateful for the 3 years to have spent around Chris Jones and to have had several one-on-one chats. The first year, right off, didn't know me. So he wasn't talking. Mm-hmm. Year two and three, we talked a lot as we got to know each other. And I'm like you. You can see why the people in the facility would like the guy. He's charming. He's smart. He works hard. He's the first one in. He's the last one out. Like, the people, what you see isn't always what you get. How many times have I told you that?
Yeah.
What you see out here is very rarely what's actually going on. And with Chris Jones, people see the gruff. And I understand in Saskatchewan, they'll probably never welcome him back. And I go back to that dinner that I did, well, every dinner that I do, but in particular, this one in, when was it? Paradise Hill, the one with Rachel Holman and the Sutters.
Yeah.
This lady in the front row that I actually sat at her table, she goes, I'll never forgive Chris Jones for what he did to my Weston. And I'm like, well, if that's what you're judging him on, where he did the best thing that he believed for the football program, which he's always going to do, then you're never going to convince somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know Weston Dressler. Doesn't make him a bad guy because he cut him. We're talking about a football guy, mm-hmm. football acumen who knows what he's doing. Does not surprise me that the Cleveland Browns would say, we can't let this guy go. Oh, and by the way, my bet's looking not bad with Marshall Hamilton that Chris Jones is going to be a head coach in the NFL within 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
What does this tell you?
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
he's on the way.
A lot of things have to happen, obviously, for that. But the big thing is for him to go and be the defensive coordinator. Chris Jones.
Sure.
Chris Jones. I mean, there's a lot there with Chris Jones. There's baggage. But the big thing about Chris Jones is he is so good on defense, and all the ideas that he brought into this league. I mean, his defense almost got them to the Grey Cup. Because they sure didn't have the offense that year, but twice, you know, that defense was just incredible. And how he would go, I remember talking to one of the staff members, and they would go to their free agent camps, and he would easily put a receiver on the other side of the ball.
Oh,
because he had
saw it a ton of times.
Yeah, exactly. Because he, look at that athlete. That athlete can go over there and you can be a pretty darn good guy. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a DB and you're going to be catching. You could be rushing the passer or whatever. I mean, he was innovative and a very, very good defensive man. And, you know, that's what they want in the NFL is a guy like that. Now, just because you're a good defensive coordinator doesn't mean you're going to be a good head coach. That's been proven a lot. But you never know. And again, one guy. has to give him an opportunity. So as far as being a head coach in the NFL.
And who's the guy with the Browns? He's talking about Diabatista?
Diabatista, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I see his name. You don't ever see him doing interviews or anything, but I read about him. What are you looking at there?
Well, I was surprised that that they got rid of John Dorsey, because John Dorsey was a darn good guy with regards to the football.
He's improved the team since he's been there.
Absolutely, and then they get rid of him. But I guess the Diabatista was on the other side, and I'm not exactly sure what his role is, Cleveland Browns are a different organization. You know?
See, we'd have to look that up. But it's again, that's why I hope, it's why you're so valuable to this program. People learn a few things as we go. For instance, somebody would say, "Why would you even want to be with the Cleveland Browns?" What did we say the other day? The thing is, why would you want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? They're saying it's the most coveted coaching job in sports. Well, look, you're working for an owner that's got control issues and the pressure's immense, blah, blah, blah. Every coach is dying to be in there. Coaches are dying to be in Cleveland.
Just
it's an NFL job.
Nick said it yesterday. You ever walk into their facilities in Frisco, Texas? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And that stadium that they play in?
The Star.
Oh, my God.
Practice facility.
Incredible.
Well, yeah, and Cleveland, too. I mean, Cleveland is one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL.
It's crazy.
They're rabid. And it's a community that I don't know a lot about, but what I understand is that it's very much like here. It's get your lunch pail, get your hard hat on, you go to work.
Blue collar.
It's blue collar.
Big time. I scouted their training camp so many times. You know, their training camp facility, it is packed, just packed with people. You know, you're kind of in their way. Hey, can you move? You know, because you're in their way. I mean, it's amazing. And then you go to the stadium. They're just crazy about their Cleveland Browns. I mean, and it's a great city. You know, Cleveland gets a bad rap, but there's, I of course, I haven't been there in the winter because I usually, doing the training camps in the summer. So, but Cleveland's pretty neat. It's neat. And if somebody gave me an opportunity to be with the Cleveland Browns, I'd be there in a second.
That's what they have.
I wouldn't. It's the NFL.
Exactly. But isn't it funny, by the way, that Justin just knew we were going to ask?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we dug that tidbit up. We got to give 3downnation.com the credit for that.
Yeah.
But as we sit here today, it looks like Chris Jones may stay in the National Football League with the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that something? Well, have we tweeted that yet? Wow, that's the interesting thing with Chris Jones. Similar to Nick Lewis, we were talking about this when he left the building yesterday after the show, how intimidating Nick Lewis is.
I know.
Chris Jones is intimidating too.
You know, I met a couple of years ago, the CFL evaluation camp was here, and we all went for a drink at the Regina Inn, and we were down there, and Nick came in. And I went up and I introduced myself and I told him, you know what, I couldn't stand you. You beat us in overtime. You scored the touchdown to tie and then you scored the touchdown to win. Do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I told him that. And he was as nice as you. I mean, it was incredible how great of a guy he was to me at that time. You know, and such a talent.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last while. You know, we had Ben Cahoon on Friday, and viewers were writing in saying how much they hated him when he was with the Alouettes. Well, how do you hate Ben Cahoon? He's a good Mormon boy.
Yeah, but that's
He was just doing his job.
But that's like everybody hated Bobby Orr because he was the best. Everybody hates McDavid unless you're an Edmonton Oilers fan. I mean, it's just
how
the way it is.
How could you hate Connor McDavid? What does he do?
Because he scores against your team, for God's sake.
Oh, sorry. Right, doing his job. As a matter of fact.
But that's the thing.
I know a lot of our viewers on Facebook are a little older than those that are watching our clips on Instagram and so forth. But the name Tony Gabriel, does it mean anything to you folks? I know it does to you, Paul.
Jeez.
I was doing a dinner in Moose Jaw with John Lynch, Tony Gabriel. Who the heck else was with? Doesn't matter. We pulled Tony Gabriel aside after. Was it Burris? Who was that? Can't remember. It was Gabriel anyways. And Lynch was like, I hated you and I still hate you. The 1976 Grey Cup, you ruined it for the Rough Riders. And Tony's like, I was just doing my job. How do you hate somebody for doing their job? Which, by the way, I will never, ever, ever forget. That night at the Moose Jaw Kinsman Center, half the speakers in the building, listen up, Paul, you would never allow this to happen. Half the speakers just died just before the dinner. So half the room couldn't hear anything.
Oh.
As it was, the dinner went long. The average age was 85. So when I wrapped up the dinner at about 11:30, it was a race to the door of...
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Walkers, canes. Oh, it was Moose Jaw. But what I came away with was Tony Gabriel saying, I was just doing my job. That's with Nick Lewis. He came in here the very first day, and he's like, you remember that. He's like, Rod, you're going to love me by the time this is done. I said, I already do love you. What are you talking about? Well, the things you said about me back in the day. I was just doing my job. Stirring things up. See you, Paul. See you, Paul.
Bye.
We turn chicken salad into lemonade every day here. Wayne in Victoria has written in and says, Rod, you do a great impression of Chris Jones. Well, when you're together every day for 3 years.
Yeah. So and people say that I'm starting to sound like you. It's the same
thing. Which is what? Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. There's few things about my old job that I miss, but one is going to those Florida camps, Smitty, because they're just so awesome. We were together quite a few.
Oh,
I would do this at a Hooters on the Gulf of Mexico. What's better? But Luke and I sometimes would just jump in a car and drive up and down that coast, whether it be the Gulf Coast or the Atlantic Coast, and we would sit and do Chris Jones imitations for hours. just driving, because there's so much to see. I remember the one camp, there was 10 quarterbacks there. I know, we'll take a break right away. There's 10 quarterbacks there. I don't think Luke will mind. He goes, well, don't know why we got 10 quarterbacks. You're just going to back up Darian anyways. Stuff like this for hours. What are you going to say, sir?
Well, they went on to the other side of the Florida.
Vero Beach, yeah.
Yeah, Vero Beach. I would imagine that would have been pretty good, too.
It was all great. It was.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what I miss. There was one time we landed in Tampa Bay, grabbed our rental car, drove straight to Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Didn't even check in at the hotel.
Was that in Bradenton?
Well, we drove, for whatever reason, down to Sarasota, which was a bit of a hike, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
Luke threw a towel over his shoulder. You saw that Instagram story, just because he was sweating so much from Golden Corral. Anyways, we have to break. Joey Alfieri coming up. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show, episode 150 on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to The Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning, episode number 150. For whatever reason, our Facebook wall has been going bonkers. Haven't had as many text questions, so we got still plenty of time in today's program. Maybe if you're listening live at rodpeterson.com, audio only, which is pristine audio, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Text in 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Prairie Mobile. Families trust Prairie Mobile. That's where we get our phones from. Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaaS telemobility dealer. CFL winter meetings are on. We've had three interviews from there. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just calling up my the poll here. For Capital Auto Mall, the Universal Collision Center, what's the biggest issue facing the CFL at winter meetings? Your four options are CFL-NFL window, expansion, third quarterback, or CFL 2.0. As you see on the screen, 42% of you saying it's the CFL-NFL window, and that is which players are and which players aren't allowed to try out in the National Football League this offseason. Nobody seems to know. 29% of you say it's the CBA. 17% say CFL 2.0, and 13% say the third quarterback. So we've got different topics between Facebook and Twitter. That's okay. You folks can figure it out. Do we have Joey online from Montreal? We got him from TSN Montreal, TSN 690 Radio. Joey Alfieri joins us this morning. How you doing, Joey? Or good afternoon to you, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. And if I can, Rod, I just want to maybe shed a little light. Not sure if you guys have touched on this on the CFL-NFL window thing. But from what I – it was my understanding that this year, if you were going into an option year in your contract, that you would have been – you were supposed to be allowed to go and test the waters in the NFL. And I'm told that what's supposed to happen as soon as next year is that anybody – at any time in their contract is going to be able to go if there's NFL interest. So that's something to keep an eye on. It's a big development.
That's a huge development. And may I ask what triggered that? I'm in favor of that. People like Craig Smith are not, right, Smitty?
Right.
What? Yeah, go ahead.
Like I had said, I'm wanting to see the player get as much as he can. The only thing is that contract. You know, what's our contracts now?
You know, what's it worth if you have a contract?
If they go and do this, that's a different situation. If they're talking about that, it's different.
Can you explain that again, Joey? Because that's big news. Can you say that again,
please?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just basically from it's my understanding that as part of the last CBA negotiation, and I'm not sure why it's gone awry this time around, but what was supposed to happen this year and this offseason was that, you know, status quo, basically any player entering their option year would have been allowed to try out for the NFL, which hasn't necessarily been the case so far. So far, you're seeing guys who would have been free agents get released early. In Montreal, we have Will Standback, who was in that situation. And, you know, he's been released because he was going to be a free agent in February. But it was my understanding that the initial agreement was for this year, the players entering their option year were going to be allowed to test NFL waters. And then starting next year, what's supposed to happen is that anybody, whether you have a 2-year, 3-year, 4-year deal, I'm told that you'll be able to go out there and try for the NFL if there's NFL interest.
Now that's awesome. That's groundbreaking.
It is. Actually. Now, you know, in the interest of the contract, you know, I what I believe is that contracts should still be honored in the CFL. So if it doesn't work out in the NFL, are they still under contract?
Yes. Yeah. I'm told that's how it's going to work is that you'd come back and you'd have to pick up where you left off with your existing team if you're under contract. But again, like I said, it was supposed to be that this year guys entering their option year were supposed to go to the NFL, and for whatever reason the CFL reneged on that. And so I don't know where this stands, but the plan was that starting next offseason 2021 or 2020-2021, you were going to be able to test out at any point. So I don't know where they are right now when it comes to that. And I don't know if that's still happening, but that was the plan. I think the players expected that they'd be able to test NFL waters, whatever the contract situation was. And look, I get it, Roddy, guys. You know, like you're tied into a contract. The CFL doesn't want to see their best talent pick up and leave. You know, every offseason, you know, fan that buys a jersey wants to, you know, make sure that they get a couple of years out of the jersey with the player on the back. But I think these guys, they put their body on the line week in, week out. You know, NFL players complain that they have one short week a season and most of them are making millions and millions of dollars. These guys do it for thousands of dollars. And in some case, I mean, as little as, you know, $56,000-$57,000 a season. And they go out there and they do it. They put their bodies on the line week in, week out. So, I mean, it's hard for me to, you know, I get the whole a contract is a contract thing. And if you're making, you know, millions and millions of dollars, that's something. But in this case, I mean, the career of a football player is so short that I'm all for the player. I'll always side with the players on this side of, you know, on this argument. I want those guys to go out and make as much money as they possibly can while they have an opportunity to.
I'm with you. And by the way, I used to be pro owner management. Now I'm pro coach player. And there's a difference. And I think that's very evident with the way this show goes. By the way, Joey, may I ask you, what's your mother tongue? Because I thought you were French. And then I saw you go on a podcast last week and just butcher Francais. What's your mother tongue? Italian?
Butcher Francais? I don't know if I butchered Francais. I think it was pretty good.
I think it was your term.
Yeah, it was Anglo-Quebecer first, and then I speak French and Italian as well. So I'm trilingual, I guess.
But you're
as you noticed on the show, Roddy, I butcher English, I butcher French, I butcher Italian, so it's just going to be a blend of each one.
You're a butcher.
Well, yeah, you go.
All these Italian Montrealers, the Buonos, Randy Chevrolet is one because his mom's Italian. I get it. I know a lot of you guys, great guys. So it seemed like a fun day with the Alouettes ownership news conference yesterday with Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern. What was it like down there and what kind of vibe did you get off these guys?
Yeah, I mean, really positive vibe. I think that's for the most part, just following along on Twitter as well while the press conference was going on. I was in the building, I was there live, but just, you know, a lot of people who were skeptical about the entire process of the Alouettes being sold. They came off as, you know, it seems like they found the right group, even though we didn't meet Sid Spiegel, who's not there, who's 89 years old, by the way, who wasn't there for emergency family reasons, according to son-in-law Gary Stern. I mean, it seems like they have the long-term benefits of the Montreal Alouettes at heart. They said, Gary Stern said, all the right things yesterday. They have, you know, a three-year plan that he didn't necessarily get into specifics. I asked him about it, and you know, he said that in the next 3 years they want to get back to being the elite franchise in the CFL, and they're going to have a president and a general manager by Friday, is what we were told, or at least that's the plan right now. But they said a lot of the right things. Now, you know, obviously, so step one is complete. They get a check mark from me, but you know, you got to see the plan in action, and you got to see, you know, them put their words into action now, and so. We'll reserve judgment until, you know, we're at least a little while into this process.
Hey, Joey, it's Craig Smith. Any ideas with regards to who they are considering for the GM position?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought about it myself, and they obviously didn't let out any clues or anything like that yesterday because they're still deciding between a few candidates is what we're told. I mean, the name Danny Machocha comes to mind. And then just, I mean, in terms of names that we haven't necessarily heard, I'm trying to think outside the box a little bit. And I wonder if, you know, maybe they'd be interested in bringing back a guy with experience, a guy maybe like a Tom Higgins. You know, that's thinking outside the box. I was wondering also if Catherine Reich, who spent some time with the Alouettes before as an assistant GM, she's off with the Philadelphia Eagles now. I wonder if she'd get a look as well. I don't know. I don't know if Wally Buono would entertain, you know, some type of role with the Alouettes. I wonder if he'd be interested in coming out of retirement. I don't see why Wally would, but you know, that's another interesting name that I'm kind of keeping in mind. And again, I have no inside info on this. I'm trying to think about names that, you know, haven't been reported, trying to think outside the box to see who maybe would get an opportunity at taking this thing over and working with, you know, hand in hand with Kahari Jones.
Well, there's lots of guys out there. They got a ton of candidates because of the salary cap, and right, there's a lot of guys out of jobs that are names and have done it. So yeah, we're watching it very closely. Joey, anything else before we let you go on the Montreal sports scene?
Well, I mean, how about Ilya Kovalchuk yesterday? He played pretty well for the Canadiens.
One assist.
I think that was, I mean, he got a secondary assist, but I think just more than that, for those who saw the game, they saw a player who he looked like he was on his last chance in the NHL. And, he looked pretty good in the first game. I don't know what the expectations are the rest of the way. For me, he's playing half a season. I was expecting, you know, I'm putting the over-under at 9.5 goals. I think if he goes over 9.5, if he hits double digits, I think you're happy with that. But, it was good.
It's interesting because a lot of people in Western Canadian teams are saying, hey, if the Habs could get him, why didn't we get him? Like, so you're saying it was a good pickup then?
Oh, I think it was. I mean, it's no risk, right? It's a two-way deal. If he sticks in the NHL, it's $700,000. And if he ends up going, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out, they want to send him to the minors, it's $70,000 on the cap. But it's prorated. Half a season's already gone by. So in reality, it's really like $35,000. So, I mean, it's a low-risk move, and the Canadiens are just – they're so banged up front. You know, they've been without Jonathan Drouin and Paul Byron for the better part of a month and a half, and now Yoel Armia's hurt, and they've lost Brendan Gallagher to a concussion. So they're so far down the totem pole when it comes to healthy forwards that, you know, for me, for a team, you know, if Mark Bergevin comes out and says – this was my argument the whole way through – if that, you know, they come out and they said they're not interested in trading prospects or draft picks or anything like that, I mean, this is the type of signing that you have to make because it doesn't cost you anything outside of a few dollars.
Good stuff. Well, merci, Joey, je t'aime, and
je t'aime aussi, Rod.
All right. Appreciate it, buddy. All the best in 2020.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Joey Alfieri joining us from Montreal. What?
Do you sit in the morning knowing Joey Alfieri's come on and just brush up on your French?
No, you know that I know.
I do know that
much.
I do.
Come on. Very, very, very interesting factoids about me.
Oh, yes.
Is my Francais. On this Alouettes GM thing, here's the interesting thing, Smitty, and before we let you go, and we got one segment left, it's overtime. There's a lot of quality candidates sitting out there. That Alouettes GM job is very attractive. It is. It's like, it's not like the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job, but it's a CFL GM job. Like, that's marquee in the game, let alone in this country. But it just seems like, from what I'm hearing, is like it's a trap. And a lot of these guys that are sitting out there looking for the next opportunity aren't going to take just any opportunity.
Well, the thing is we talked about this before. What is it? It's a GM job, but, you know, what are the duties? What are the duties of the GM in Montreal? And, you know, like a guy like Brendan, he was kind of in a situation like that in 2010 where he was the GM, but Ken was over top. So Ken would, you know, make decisions. And you know, so that was kind of a funny situation at that time. Now, would Brendan want to go do something like that with Montreal? Who's making decisions? Who's the buck stops here? Who's the guy?
Who's that guy?
Yeah, who's that guy? And it ain't going to be the GM.
Well, usually it's the owner, right? And that's why the people that worked for Bob Wettenhall, the old man, sorry to say that, the dad, they loved him. They loved him because they knew the buck stopped with Bob Wettenhall.
But at the same time...
Oh, and then Jim Popp, or the buck stopped with Jim.
Yeah.
But who is that in that scenario? Well, is that what you're saying in this scenario?
Well, it's like Jim Hobson here. He was the president. He could come in and say, Brendan, we got to do this. And if you don't do this, you're fired. He never, ever did that. He'd come in and we'd sit around and we'd have nice chats about different things, about when Jim played. And I loved it. I loved listening to all that. But there were talk about, you know, different things. He never, ever came in and said, we got to do this. He let Brendan do his job. The president allowed Brendan to do his job. Bob Wettenhall allowed Pop to do the football stuff.
Right.
Now, what this GM is going to come in, is he going to be able to do what he would think a GM would do? It's hard to say.
Well, it's awesome, and we should get Hoppy in here again soon in 2020. Maybe tell some of these stories on a not breaking news day like we've had the last couple days. But I just remember... whether it was Jim told me or Tammin told me, or maybe I was there. Remember, I was in that office a lot too. Jim would come in, slam the door. We can't play DA. Right? After the Dudeney thing.
Yeah.
And Jim's wife says, I do a very good Hobson imitation. And Brennan's like, well, we talked about it as coaching staff and we got to play him, Jim. Well, I'm against it. But if you got to play him, play him. And then he'd go out and have three interceptions and, you know, he 15 tackles. And
he was an integral part.
And he was an integral part. And he's a good guy. But Jim was looking at it from the outside the walls image perspective of this guy just got charged with beating up a drug dealer on Dudeney, which, frankly, I think he should have got a medal. That's another story.
That is another story. Yeah.
But, man, those are fascinating stories.
Oh, absolutely.
Of Ryder lore.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, who brought DA into the league?
I don't even know where he started. Montreal? Calgary? Oh, I'm guessing you then.
Hamilton.
Hamilton, yeah. Okay.
Saw him in St. Louis and brought him in, and he was with Hamilton.
It worked out okay.
He did well.
Right. Smitty, anything else before we let you go?
Nothing. We're looking forward to the national championship games on Sunday, Saturday, and then on Monday, and then, of course, looking forward to the Titans playing.
It'll
be very interesting. And then the Vikings, Seahawks, looking forward to all that.
Did you watch the Lending Tree Bowl last night?
I sure did. Yeah,
absolutely. Darren was waiting all year for it.
Yeah. It's in Mobile. I'll tell you something. Ted Bilderback, you know Ted?
Very well,
Ted lives in Foley, Alabama, and I was texting him last night and saying, man, Ted, I sure miss going down to Mobile because it used to be a lot of fun going there.
Great spots, aren't they? Great city. Ted's a great dude.
Ted's fantastic.
All right. Thank you, Smitty.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dupes and I back with Overtime after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 150 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back for the overtime, everybody. Clark says the puck has dropped. We've got a fresh flood on. And we may go a little long today, if that's okay, just because we're having so much fun.
Yeah.
And I'll say good morning, Las Vegas. Some friends have logged in from Vegas to watch the show. It doesn't sound like they've watched it before, so what took you so long?
150 episodes.
150 episodes, and you finally found us. Well, Chris Jones imitations galore today, and the word coming out of CFL winter meetings from Justin Dunk. I bet you the number one topic at CFL winter meetings is Chris Jones.
Yeah, it might be. On like the coffee gossip row of winter meetings. I bet you that's it.
Justin Dunk reporting that as of today, it sounds like Chris Jones may very well stay with the Cleveland Browns because he made such a favorable impression on the Browns brass in just 1 year there, which surprises me nada. Not at all. And for his sake, I hope that he does stay there if that's where he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Milanovich was with us earlier from CFL Winter Meetings. The new head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, formerly the quarterback's coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he'll be announcing his staff next week. Doesn't sound like Chris Jones will be on it. I was actually hoping Chris Jones would be back in the CFL.
I know.
Right? Just for the CFL purposes, not for Chris's purpose.
The more personalities, the more big names we have in the CFL, the better. The more familiar faces we have in the CFL, the better. It's people you know. So
recognizable, yes, recognizable, for marketing.
For marketing, for ticket sales, for interest's sake. That's always a good thing. You know, it's always great. And it's great bringing new people in because we get to know them. But it becomes really great once we know them. So, yeah, I mean, you got to stick with guys. You got to get to know them. But, yeah, Chris Jones back would be good for the CFL, for sure.
And the commissioner was with us, Randy Ambrosi, leading it all off from CFL winter meetings in Collingwood, Ontario, at the base of Blue Mountain. It just sounds fantastic to me.
Doesn't it?
We didn't have a poll question. We couldn't come up with one. But coming out of the interview with Ambrosi, we stumbled upon one, and that is, what's the biggest issue facing the CFL at winter meetings? On our daily Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. And the options on Twitter are the CFL-NFL window, expansion, third quarterback, or CFL 2.0. That's the Twitter options. We got four different ones on Facebook. Did you notice that? Oh. CFL-NFL window, the CBA, third quarterback, or CFL 2.0. But in both cases, leading is the CFL-NFL window, and then Joey Alfieri just dropped news on that anybody can work out. It looks like we're moving towards a time in the CFL that anybody, regardless of your contract situation, can go try out in the National Football League. If you, I guess, have a tryout or have signed a contract, it sounds somewhat potentially chaotic to me.
It does.
But if they get it all worked out and it's what's best for the players, I'm all in favor of it.
I think the issue, and you know, as we try and get into this, and I asked Randy, I think the issue lies with the NFL now, not allowing their teams to sign players who are under contract in the CFL.
That's the current NFL bylaw.
That's the current bylaw. So now that's why you have teams releasing players. You have to release a player to go try out in the NFL, where the CFL is okay. If you're under contract, I think they're going to be okay with, you can go down and, according to Joey Alfieri, that you can go down and try out, and if you sign a deal, okay, then your deal will be done if you're going to sign in the NFL. But the NFL doesn't want any part of that yet, so that's still to be worked out.
How much of a risk is it? I'm just, if people could just relate pro football to your life, It's, let's use a job, not a relationship. Your boss says, yes, you can go try this other job because you think it's better. But if it doesn't work out and you come back, somebody's going to be in your spot.
Yeah.
Would you take that gamble?
Ooh. I would.
What if you're dating a girl and she says, you can go date her for a while, but when you come back, I'll be with somebody new. Would you take that?
That's a different...
No, it's not.
It is.
It's the same.
And kind of. Because I believe in taking risks, taking chances, and not playing it safe. You take your shot. If it's what you want, go take your shot. You have to. You can't jump and still have the safety net and expect great things, right? It's the risk in it too. If you're going to take the jump, take the leap. It just doesn't exist to go and have great things but still have the backup plan. You can't have a backup plan, right? And it's the same thing with women. You can't sit there and have a backup plan that you're working out. And
a lot of guys do.
Does it work out?
Call them danglers.
Is it a good strategy? Does it work out? No.
They call it settling.
Right? You know, you have no great reward comes without risk. So go take that chance. Take the leap. And yeah, your job might not be there, but if you're taking the leap and going to go try something, what you're doing now isn't what you really want to do anyway. So go do it.
And that's the
no
truth.
Regrets. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, so be it. You took the chance. Something else will be there.
Well, I think a lot of people, including the hosts here today, got a real glimpse inside pro football. That Milanovic interview was awesome for a lot of reasons, but one was he said, we worked out here in Jacksonville, Mike Riley and Bo Levi Mitchell. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And I said, well, what are they looking for? And he goes, I don't know.
All they did was
don't tell me.
Yeah.
Doesn't that tell you a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had a pretty good idea, as a guy whose dad worked for 26 years in the NHL as a scout. His job was to identify players and forward his thoughts on those players, but then he was so mad when they didn't take those players.
Yeah.
It's not the same as Milanovic, but you get it.
Kind of.
Right?
No, it kind of is. And that's what I think is the beautiful thing about sports and life and that human aspect to it. And stats are okay. But, you know, I've been listening a little bit to the Disney CEO, Bob Iger, who I was telling you about. And one of his lessons, he says, you know, don't listen to the numbers, trust your gut. And use the numbers to kind of influence some of your decisions, but trust your gut. It's the same thing in sports with analytics. It's important, but it's not a computer system. You know, we don't operate that way. We operate, you know, real life. And every coach and every general manager has a different idea of what they want in each position and what works in each position. There's not just one formula that works. And that's what makes it so beautiful. And that's what makes the games so great.
Oh, boy. And this show's been great. Wayne in Victoria says, this was one of the best CFL shows you've ever done. I love it. I would agree. I've been saying it all day. David in Winnipeg says, from the BC Lions, defensive back Chris Edwards has been released so that he can pursue the NFL. So it started. It started.
Yep.
And you're going to have a lot of happy players rather than enslaved, suppressed players.
Oh, yeah. They see a way out. They see a way to their dreams. And that's what you want. You want to be empowering people.
I think so. Sports on tap tonight for the Tap Brew House and Liquor Store. Spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the Brew House. Stop by to see them today. Sports on tap in the Dub tonight. Medicine Hats at Brandon, Red Deer's at PA, and Spokane is at Portland. In the SJ, Notre Dame's at Humboldt tonight. Nipawin's at Kindersley, Melville's at Weyburn, and Estevan is at Yorkton. Did you see the SJHL announce their Games of the Month broadcast yesterday?
Yeah.
You and I will be calling some games in the SJ.
Oh, yeah.
Making me so happy. In the NHL, 12 games tonight, including the Canadian teams, Vancouver at Tampa Bay, Ottawa at Washington. Battle of the Nation's Capitals, Trudeau versus Trump. Montreal versus Detroit in Detroit. And the Flames are at Chicago. Rashawn Simonese, CFLer, tweeting, it should be this way regardless of releasing players. Yes, from your perspective. CFL's been around for 100 and how many years? It hasn't been this way till now.
But for him.
There's a reason.
No, I get it. And, you know, Rashawn Simon was a player in Calgary. And he had that tryout. And he went to the Cincinnati Bengals. And now he's in Winnipeg. So he's had that opportunity to go back and forth. They want to be able to chase their dreams.
BC, Clark says.
I get it. They want to be able to chase their dreams. And now they're seeing a way that they can do that. So I like that.
I don't really want to go off the air today. It's been one of those days. I don't want to wrap it up. I don't want to close up shop.
I know.
Mick Panko writing in says, how about Chance Petruic in the SJ? 50 tucks in 43 games. Wow. That is a wow.
Yeah.
We're all following it. His father, Jeff, I grew up with him. He's from Avonlea. I'm from Milestone. It's... not that far apart. Played hockey against him. He used to make me silly on a look silly on a regular basis. Chance is doing it to all SJHL goalies. How far can it go? Remember, 43 games. They only play a 58-game schedule. So he's more than halfway through. But everybody's watching. Another good reason. Get out tonight. Yorkton Terriers, home to the Estevan Bruins. Yeah. Players, right? Players. Everybody's talking about Chance Petruic and the SJ. It's about the players. Now, with this business of the turnover and everything, and we always hear the CFL gripe of the players don't stick around long enough. If you're good enough, you will stick around. I'm trying to figure this out. Connor McDavid's only played for one team. Auston Matthews only played for one team. They're young. Mm-hmm. James Neal's played for four teams in the last 4 years. You got to find a different way to market.
Yeah, there's not
then one on those guys.
And there's not always one tried and true way. You know, you do tie yourself to those guys who stick around a long time, but SJ rosters and WHL rosters turn over every 3-4 years and players are in and out. It just means if you know you're going to have them for a shorter period, you got to market them that much harder to start with and get them ingrained in the community that much faster.
See, this is why this is such a change. You talked about empowerment. Look at Willie Jefferson. Look what he did for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. He was awesome. Most outstanding defensive player. Then he goes to Winnipeg. And in 1 year, folks, wins most outstanding defensive player in the league, leads the Bombers for their first Grey Cup since 1990, And now it sounds like he's going to sign with the Miami Dolphins. Would you wish him anything other than that? If that's what he wants?
Exactly. Cameron Wake has been a great marketing tool for the CFL, right? And now Willie Jefferson can do it. Deontay Spencer, the other guys who are having success, they can do it too.
Yeah, I just you got to let him go, man.
Yeah.
You got to let him go. If you love it, let it free.
Yep.
If it comes back, it's yours. If it doesn't,
never was.
Bingo. All right.
I know.
Time to wrap it up for the day.
Don't say goodbye. See you tomorrow.
Clark, can you tell me who's on the program tomorrow? Just don't want to leave people sitting on the edge of their seats. I will thank our guests today. The commissioner of the CFL, Randy Ambrosi. Edmonton Eskimos head coach, Scott Milanovich. Joey Alferi from TSN Montreal. Justin Dung from 3downnation.com. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith. And I can tell you, he didn't want to leave. Did he?
No.
Actually, and we have some gift cards for Smitty from Dosa Curry Garden. He doesn't care much for it, but his wife loves it.
And we know who we want to keep happy.
Happy wife, happy life. Tomorrow, Les Lazaruk. Oh, and a very special guest we won't announce until tomorrow. Got it?
Got it.
Cool. Okay, we're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.